speak about patience this morning. So you really have to be patient with me. Of course, you know, the most famous scripture for that is, or familiar, is James chapter 1, right? And so we're just gonna read that for a minute and see how we're gonna go from there. Let's just start in verse 1. Okay, James chapter 1. And we're gonna read from 1 to 8 there. Okay? Everybody there? Everybody find it? Okay. You got it, Jim? Okay. Okay, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that should give you a clue right there. We all need to be bondservants. Are you familiar with the word bondservants? Everybody? You know what the owners did to their slaves? They put something on their ear for ownership, right? I don't know what it was, but they had to pound it into the ear or something. Anyway, that's not what this is about. Anyway, that's a bond servant. We are all bond servants, right? We're bonded to the Lord, right? When we accepted Christ as our Savior, there was a bonding, and there should be a continual bonding happening in our life, right? Should be. James, a bondservant of God, verse 1, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad and scattered to us too. And it says in verse 2, I just don't understand this verse at all sometimes. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Anybody counting here today? Counting. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Anybody pray for patience lately? We don't like to pray for patience because you kind of got it in this mind. If I pray for patience, then the Lord's going to give me some trials, right? So not too many people pray for patience, but we should be, because it produces fruit, right? Verse 4 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be, here comes the fruit of it, right? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There's maturity coming in right there, right? If you don't know how to do it, it says verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and that will be given to him. That word reproach it denotes mocking, ridiculing, scolding, insulting, and using words angrily or sarcastically. That's it. Okay. Okay. So that we know what. So none of that. None of that. That's what reproach means. Okay. The testing of your faith, of our faith, produces patience. So what I did, I did a little diagram here. I was looking for the real thing, but so what we have here is two sticks of dynamite. Okay? And if you will notice the difference between these two sticks of dynamite. One's got a short fuse, and the other one's got a long fuse. Okay? How long is your fuse? Till you explode. Right? Okay. So I got here. Materials needed. You need one fuse snubber. In other words, fuse extinguisher. Because you've probably lit your fuse by whatever you said or done or what kind of a trial you're in. And you're going, oh, I don't want this to go on. So, but you know, as quick as your trial starts, your fuse is lit. Quick as your trial starts, right? Whatever it is, that fuse is lit. And it's up to us how we're going to respond, how we're going to act, right, in that trial, right? If we have a short fuse, some of us do, it doesn't take long and you explode. You explode maybe in anger or whatever it is, you respond that way, right? But others have a longer fuse, so it takes a lot longer time. You have maybe a lot more patience. Maybe that's what we need, right? We need patience. Okay, now I got your materials needed. One fuse snubber, just in case you're gonna snub your fuse, right? Because you're gonna make it right, whatever. Say you have something against somebody. So you go, oh, the Lord wants me to do things right here. The Lord wants me to love my brothers. The Lord wants me to make it right with my brother. So, okay, so I got to use my fuse snubber and snub the fuse before it explodes. That make sense? Okay. Okay, another thing you need is one container of patience. Right? You need to have a container of patience. Right? Now, I've got here a good pair of running shoes, just in case. Just in case you have to run before it explodes. And another thing I have here, you might need underarm deodorant, because things might get a little hot, get a little sweaty, right? So those are the things that are about the two sticks of dynamite. And you don't want your situation to keep on going, you know, because things might get so hot and explode. Right? So that's part of my diagram there, if that makes any sense. Okay, it says, you count it all joy, verse 1, right? Now, you're not going to probably experience joy during the trial. You're not. That might come after. That should come after the joy, right? The joy is not experienced during the trial. And so, of course, the answer to that is, well, just let's read it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. How many know that? That the testing of our faith produces patience. You want more patience in your life? You have to know that. That's what the word says. You have to know that, right? And it says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, right? So you're in this trial, or whatever it is, and it's working, it's ongoing, you're going, oh, I don't know if there's going to be an end to this trial. Lord, is there going to be an end to this testing I'm in, right? Lord, help me to endure meanwhile. Yeah. It says the taste testing of your faith produces patience. And I stuck one more word in there, which is long suffering. We're going to have that with our to produce our patience. Yeah. So just like the dynamite here, the fuse is lit when the trial begins. And what's going to be the outcome of it depends on us, right? Are we going to, yes, we are going to be tested, right? Say we have an ought against our brother or sister, right? And there's a big argument, right? Are you going to let this thing go? Will the fuse eventually would reach the powder, the gun, the powder, dynamite powder? We don't want to do that, right? But, you know, we just pray that we'll have long fuses. That's where our patience comes in. That's where our long suffering comes in, right? Right? Because if we have that, we'll be able to snuff this baby out long before it reaches the dynamite stick there. Blow up. Okay? But we cannot let the fuse come in contact with the powder in the dynamite. And I got it in my nose that during our trial, we'll be suffering. We'll experience long suffering too. We're going to see how long our suffering is, our long suffering. So we don't know how long our trial will last. Right, whatever it is, we don't know how long it's going to last. Sometimes it depends on us. Other times it doesn't depend. It depends on somebody else or the situation, right? We don't know how long our trial will last. All we have to do is we need to endure the trial, right? And while we're doing that, to count it all joy. Lord, I know this is pretty rough time for me here, but I know you're doing something. I know this is producing fruit in me, right? That's what he wants. He wants to see that fruit in us. Love, all that stuff that's supposed to come out of this all. The testing of our faith. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow, I got a lot of time here yet. Yeah, half an hour. Okay. Anybody here want to be perfect and complete? We all do, right? But we want it the easy way, right? Or don't let, we don't want to do any, you know, any friction here. Because I have to use maybe more underarm deodorant. But, you know, we don't know exactly how things are going to turn out. But verse 5 says, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He will give it to us, you know, freely. Like the word says, freely we have received, freely give, right? It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. But when we ask, we have to believe that we receive, right? That we receive it. And sometimes it might not look like it, might not feel like it. But the Lord says that we're going to receive if we ask in faith. Okay? And it says, if we doubt, then we might not get anything. We might not get the answer we were looking for. Right? Yeah. Excuse me a minute. I just got to get me a little drink here. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. By the way, Paul, that was an awesome testimony you gave this morning. Wow. That is so uplifting and so, my, we needed that. Did I give you the scripture reading yet? Okay, here it is, Jim. It's Romans 8:18. Which says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now you can put a timetable on that. You can put a timetable of meaning maybe now or future events, right? Consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So in some ways, a lot of people are suffering right now, right? Whatever they're getting is from the COVID experience or whatever. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That whole, it says, I was reading another portion of scripture here, that the whole creation groans and waiting for the redemption. And sometimes we wake up in the morning and we do a little of our own. Right, Paul? A little groaning of our own. Ugh. Not every morning, I hope. Yeah, as we get older, we do a little bit more groaning, I think. Right? Yeah. Let's read that again. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings we suffer right now in certain areas because of what's happening in the world today. Right? But what does the word say? It says, one moment in heaven, and we won't even remember any of the bad stuff, right? It'll be so awesome, so good, right? Oh, we're not people that have no hope, right? We are filled with hope and expectation of what God's going to do now and what's God's going to do later on, right? And most of all, what God is doing in us. But you know, He's preparing us. He's making us ready for that day. It's like the bride being prepared for that wedding day. Right? Yeah. White gown. Without spot or wrinkle. You know, that cleansing of the gown can only be done by the blood of Jesus. Right? Yes, he's working on us to perfect us, to get us more ready for that day. But actually, we're going to be, in fact, it says we're going to be dressed in white too. Maybe we'll have white gowns. Maybe on that wedding day, we'll all be wearing white. I don't know. But our gowns are going to be white because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the point. Right? Okay. I want you to turn to one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I won't be much longer here. First Corinthians 10:13. Here's what it says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. I like this one. But God is faithful. No matter what we're going through, God is still faithful. He sees us every minute of the day, what we're going through. We never walk alone. We're never, no matter what trial we're in, no matter what we're going through, He is right there with us, right? All we need to do is acknowledge Him. But the important thing is to acknowledge Him in our trial. Acknowledge Him in our testing, right? Counting it all joy. Counting it all joy. Let's read this again. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not... Oh, this is very good. This should be a real reassuring verse for you. For us. It says, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with a temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Have you ever talked to the Lord about that or told Him that? Lord, it's just about getting too much here. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm running out of fuse, Lord. I'm running out of patience here. You better do something, right? He's going to come through. He will come through. Yeah. So if doesn't matter if your trial you're facing today is temporary or longer, but remember, God is faithful. Remember, all those listening online, God is faithful to you. He knows exactly what you're going through, right? He will not tempt us beyond what we're able to bear. But it will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear, right? You know, you think sometimes, Lord, you know, I'm facing a pretty big mountain here right now. I'm in a pretty big trial. But you know, I think your trial, all our trials are going to come to an end. They are going to come to an end, sooner or later, right? But we need to be patient, right? Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something in me I'm going through this trial, but I'm going to start counting. I'm going to count it all joy because you're producing. You're producing in me what I cannot produce, right? That's what He's doing. Let's just go to the end of Job. I think there's some very important script verses here. Okay, Job, where are you? What page is Job on? Oh, yeah, that's right, too. That could not remind me. Right. Okay. We're getting there. We're going to go to 42. Job 42, we're going to start in verse 10. This is what it says. And everybody knows the stuff that Job went through, right? The trials he went through, right? But look what verse 10 says of 42. It says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friend. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." You know, Job must have been done something right, right? I know he was laying in a heap of ashes, and yeah, it was pretty bad. A lot of his family got killed, right? But it says that God restored Job. Yeah, that's verse 40. That's 10. And 10b says, "The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Wow. That was worth hanging in there, right? See, Job could have done something bad, I don't know, in his trial, right? In fact, his wife told me, she said, "Job, why don't you just forget God. You know, forget God and just die in your trial." Job says, "No. We must receive as much as we need to receive from the Lord what is good. We have some of the stuff we have to receive that's not so good." Okay? So that's what he told his wife. So verse 11 says, "Then all his brothers and his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold." Wow. God completely restored his family. He restored Job's family relationships. All because Job didn't wait until everything exploded on him, right? His fuse was long enough, you could say. His fuse was long enough. He hung in there. As he was counting it all joy, right? Do we count it all joy in our trial? Sometimes we do. Anybody counting right now? You can lift your hand if you want. I'm counting. I got one. I'm counting. I see another hand there. All the rest of you are on easy street. Paul, you're on. Oh, you got a hand up. Okay. Okay. Yeah, most of us are counting it all joy, right? We don't know. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I am counting. In fact, I am trusting that you're doing something good in my life. Right? You're doing something good. Not that I understand it all, but I know that you've got a goal in mind for me. Right? So this is something good. It says here, verse 12, "The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." You want more before your trial? You want more? You want more after? Yeah. "For he had," and it talks about restoring all his livestock, right? Gives a number of his sheep and camels and donkeys and all that. "He restored him mightily." Why? Verse 15, look at verse 15. "In all the land were found no women as beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers." So God gave Job some beautiful daughters, right? I'm thinking about myself too. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you for my beautiful daughters, you know, that you've given me. Oh my. I'm just going to tell on Renee. Renee, she came down yesterday, Saturday. Yesterday or day before? Anyway, she came down. Was it Saturday? Friday. It was Friday. She said, Dad, I'm coming over. So she came to my apartment. And he says, Dad, we're going to do some house cleaning. Oh. I didn't really thought it was that dirty. Right? But when she started, oh, I tell you, he made such a thorough job. I didn't. He was all day cleaning. He says, Dad, don't you ever dust? There's so much dust around here. Oh, I never noticed. And so she went to every nook and cranny. So I got a spick and span house right now, right? She says, Dad, you won't be sneezing so much anymore. Thank you. That was my beautiful daughter. She came down and did that. I was so blessed. Bye. Verse 16 says, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of the glory of God, full of days. That's what we want to do. We want to live our days full, as many as the Lord will give us, right? As much strength as we have. But you know the secret is that He is faithful. He is faithful in everything. So that is my story about my sermon on patience. Maybe you got a little bit from it. I hope so. So Max, could you go to piano? And so we are going to close. And so everybody stand, please. We're going to close prayer. But while we're playing and kind of waiting on the Lord, if there's anybody here that seems like their trial is so long, it's lasting such a long time, and there doesn't seem to be no end. But know this, it will come to an end. I don't know what the Lord's doing in your life, and He's working in my life too. But if you need a little extended encouragement, prayer, if you want to come up, we'll believe with you, encourage you here too, if you need that.